The Blitz. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston. A Gau Media station. If you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
Are you ready?
Hey, you think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780. ESPN's your number. 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz. Click like. Send your messages there. You can also get us on Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R. At AJ is the real, at Aaron is blitzed, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show. You know the number for that. And if you missed the first hour, I was hoping we wouldn't be too sportsy, but it was pretty sportsy. Sportsy and politically.
Yeah.
So, oh well. These things happen. I was looking at USA Today, like I usually do, because I get a bunch of stuff off of them for show prep. And so they basically said they did a thing asking which horse the experts are picking to win for the Kentucky Derby. And they've got their guy, Dan Wolkin, and then you know somebody from the Louisville paper and somebody from Associated Press. And then they've got some TV guy, never heard of him. Another TV guy I've never heard of. The mayor of Louisville. The University of Louisville athletic director. Are these experts? Is that what you would call experts?
I don't know.
I'm just curious, because kind of feel like, I think I'm a little bit of an expert on this. Is the Louisville athletic director?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, congratulations, USA Today. That's your experts. So... 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. They also have their first post-draft power rankings out
for the NFL. Oh, boy. Here we go.
I want to see if you can... I bet you can guess these in the top five.
Oof. God, the Chiefs are such a wild card.
Well, yeah, they've fallen, I'll tell you that much.
I'll just go ahead and go with the safe bet and say Patriots number one.
Patriots numero uno. Si.
Now, normally I would have said Chiefs number two, but I don't believe that to be the case right now. Let's go with Saints.
Saints numero three.
Okay, that's close. That's close. That's top five.
See.
Let's go with... boy.
Am I stumping you with this one?
You kind of are. The Chiefs not in the top five?
The Chiefs are not in the top five. I'll go ahead and give them to you.
Let me strike out first. I'll go okay. Rams.
No.
Oh, not top five. That's disrespect. Let me go this one and Just to be accused of trolling Texans fans, I'll go Colts.
Colts are number four.
See? I'm not trolling. That's a real thing.
All right, so here they are. Patriots are one. Chargers two.
Chargers, wow, okay.
Saints three. Colts four. Vikings five.
Okay.
Now your 6-10 group, Eagles at six. Rams are seven. The Chiefs are eight, and obviously the Tariq Hill situation, I think they're assuming he's not going to be playing.
Yeah, ain't good.
Number nine, the Browns.
Boy, that hype beast is in full force. Like, would you take the Browns over the Falcons or the Seahawks or the Bears?
I wouldn't.
I wouldn't either.
I'm not sure I'd take them over the Texans, to be honest.
I don't know if
I'm taking
them over the Steelers in their own division.
Yeah, but they're number nine.
Or the Ravens, for that matter.
Falcons are number 10. Packers 11. I think that's too high.
I kind of think so too. But listen, when you got When you got a quarterback like that, you've always got a chance. That's one thing's for sure.
Seahawks 12, Bears 13, Steelers 14, Cowboys 15. You could guess who 16 is because they're...
Where else would they be?
Exactly.
The Texans Day Houston?
C. That is the epitome of mediocrity. So, says they have lost really good contributors this offseason and might struggle to retain edge force Jadeveon Clowney.
Can I guess bottom five? Do they rank all the way down to 32?
Oh, yeah, they go all the way to 32. This should be relatively easy for you.
Dolphins, bottom five.
Number 32, the Miami Dolphins.
Cardinals, bottom five.
Number 29.
Giants, bottom five.
Number 30.
Let's go Bengals, bottom five.
Bengals, number 31. So you've got four of them.
Let's go Redskins, bottom.
Oh, so close. They're number 27.
Oh, so there's one in between them.
There's one in between them.
They were six.
You were so close.
Broncos?
Nope, they're 26. They're a step above the Redskins.
Damn it.
You're going the wrong direction now.
Lions.
Yeah, there you go. So... Yeah, your bottom group there are the Lions 28, Cardinals 29, Giants 30, Bengals 31, Dolphins 32. You could probably write for USA Today.
I probably could.
So
probably wouldn't, but I could.
And I think though there's a little bit of trolling going on when you put the Cowboys right ahead of the Texans.
Of course.
So
yeah, well. Although I don't think they're trolling it. That's the thing about USA Today. I can't imagine they have a fan base that they particularly care about trolling.
Oh, they do.
Do they?
They do. Yeah, they've become they're not the most reliable news source anymore. They do a lot of that kind of stuff. They got a bunch of wannabe Skip Baylesses there. So almost everything they do, they're trying to troll somebody. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. You see what happened to Corey Kluber last night?
Yeah. What a crazy deal. Out for a couple months, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. That sucks. But as long as he's back for the playoffs, assuming they're in, that's the big thing. And another thing that I wanted to get to, I talked about earlier in the show, and the 20 richest contracts in sports history ranked.
Mm-hmm.
And,
does it count soccer stuff?
It's basically says 5 months after Canelo signed the richest contract in professional sports history, Mike Trout then bumped him. So basically, this is the 20 richest contracts. Steph Curry's number 20 with his $201.2 million for 5 years.
Okay.
Average annual value is $40 million.
That's pretty good.
That's what we care about, right? Is so he's number. Number 20. 19 is Russell Westbrook. Probably.
Russell Westbrook.
$41 million a year.
Whoops.
Well, that's what they had to pay to keep him there, right?
What? Where's Bryce Harper?
He's near the top. I've got to go.
Oh, you're going. Okay. I don't know why I was.
Zach Greinke, $34 million a year.
Okay.
Is next on the list. It's a freaking slideshow, too, which is why I'm going slow.
You want me to tell you what's crazy? Is... There are still guys, there are guys, I bet, in the top 10. They're probably baseball guys. But when you say their names, we're going to go, that guy, really?
Yeah.
And I think there's one guy that's going to be in there twice, if I'm not mistaken. And it's not a guy who's like, it's a guy who's retired.
Max Scherzer, $30 million a
year. Not looking worth it this year, unfortunately. No.
Prince Fielder. $23 million a
year. That's a crazy one.
Yeah. So, Clayton Kershaw is at $30 million a year. Doesn't Verlander have to be higher up on this list than this? David Price, $31
million. That one's crazy, too.
Yeah. Joey Votto is on the list at 22.5.
It's on my fantasy team.
Not good?
Not worth it.
Here's
he one. He sits on my bench. Behind something called Pete Alonso and Dan Vogelbach.
Number 12, $38 million average a year, James Harden.
Okay.
Albert Pujols still making $24 million.
God, that's so crazy.
Yeah.
He'll be done before Chris Paul will.
Robinson Cano, $24 million.
Same as he's still got several years left.
Miguel Cabrera, $31 million.
That's one of the ones I was thinking of. The guy can barely play now, and he's still making a ton of dough.
And you were probably thinking of Alex Rodriguez.
Yeah.
Still making.
I would think Alex Rodriguez is on there twice.
Well, he's
because he signed a $250 million one or $252 million or whatever it was. Then he signed one for like $280 million or something like that.
Well, he's still under contract for the $252 million, so that's why it's on the list.
He's under a contract for the last one, the $280 million.
Nolan Arenado, $32 million per year.
God, that's good. Well, he's a good player.
Yeah, he's earned that. Alex Rodriguez's other contract is the second one.
Yeah.
Yeah. 27.5. Manny Machado.
$300 million.
Yep, $30 million a year. That's easy math.
Yeah.
But
I got that one.
He lives in California, so it's more like $4 million.
Yeah.
Giancarlo Stanton.
Well, his is like a $2 million year deal. It's like he's never going to be done playing with the Yankees.
13-year contract.
Jeez.
For Stanton. And Bryce Harper, third on the list.
And then Canelo and Trout.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's your list. Canelo making $73 million a year off of his deal.
Good for him. And yeah, dude, the difference is all these other guys, they've got to play like, you know, some are playing 162 games a year.
Yep.
Canelo, he's probably going to fight twice.
Yeah, in a year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And rake. What a life, man. God, I wish I was good at fighting. Like, that good. That might be the best thing to be good at. I mean, you got to train all the time. That's the other thing. So it's not like you only work two nights a week. Or two nights a year. Like, he's still got to put in these camps.
Yeah, you got to train, yeah.
Train constantly. But, my goodness, to only have to deal with the pressure of having the lights on twice a year and still be the second highest paid athlete in the world. Is that in the world or in the country?
It's in the country.
Okay.
Because it didn't have any of the soccer guys on there, and I know that there's some of those cats that make a ton. So, all right, speaking of making a ton, you know what's Saturday? Kentucky Derby.
Yeah.
No, it's tomorrow, Kentucky Oaks. You know where you want to bet? BetUSRacing.com. That's where I'm going to be playing. At BetUSRacing.com, you can wager on over 200 racetracks right from your computer or mobile phone. And listen, man, Oaks tomorrow, got my picks will be posted on the website, so you can go check them out. And BetUSRacing.com is the place to go. They offer daily rebates, and you can bet on whatever you want. And if you need some action between the races, how about this? You can play blackjack and over 300 casino games at BetUSRacing.com. Sign up today, and you can qualify for a $150 bonus. Go to www.BetUSRacing.com/pony and get a 20% cash bonus. Start betting today. That's BetUSRacing.com/pony for the 20% cash bonus. It's time for you to get in on the action. BetUSRacing.com/pony.
This is the Blitz.
The Blitz on ESPN
97.5. You are listening to the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
On ESPN975.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. Somebody's asking about the Tariq Hill stuff. I haven't had a chance to go through the new stuff today.
I mean, his lawyer basically just said that he never touched the child. He may have patted him on the chest and told him chin up or toughen
up
or something.
Think, yeah.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, well,
you should be terrified of me too.
Yeah, we all heard the tape.
Yeah.
And that's,
you ain't fooling anybody, bro.
But hey, what are you gonna do? This is obviously the guy's career is on the line. His lawyer's gonna come out and say whatever he needs to say. So 713-780-ESPN 713-780-3776. And is it a thing that pitchers now think that the balls are juiced?
I don't know.
I apparently a couple of them have commented on it.
who knows? It goes in spurts, it seems like, where the ball's flying and then a couple years the ball's not. I mean, I don't know. I just think it kind of goes in cycles. I don't know why.
Yeah.
Well, but I don't know how you would, quote unquote, juice a ball.
Oh, I'm sure there's all kinds of things you can do to make the thing jump off the bat more, but I mean, you could shoot some more steroids. Squeeze in a couple calls. Sean, you're on. What's up?
Sports.
In-game questions. So spoiler, possibly.
Okay.
Iron Man,
question,
yes.
Why is Captain America all of a sudden able to pick up the hammer?
Because he is worthy. He's as worthy as Thor. They at some point, he became such a good person that he was worthy.
So I guess just a certain amount of good merits, you just suddenly become good enough?
I mean, that's...
Like you don't have to be a demigod or anything like that?
Apparently not. You just have to be worthy. Odin's eyes, you must be worthy.
Yeah, there was the scene in was it Avengers 2 where he's going around and everybody's drunk and he's like, you're not worthy. And that's what was the setup was that for. Okay. I thought he had another question. Oh, well. I thought that was kind of a...
I thought it was hokey.
I thought it was a pander to the fans thing. And yeah. Cheesy would be how I would describe it. Let's try Alan. What's up, Alan?
Hello?
Yes.
Hey, sports, Alan.
Yeah, hey, sports guys. And just on the front there, anybody that wants any kind of ratings wouldn't let OU Mike on their show at all. Beyond all that, I'm trying to figure out, and I don't understand horse racing at all, but how do they determine the favorite when the favorite gets scratched? And doesn't that change the odds on the favorite now? The present favor.
Yeah, let me get into this briefly here. I'll try to explain it as simply as I can because it can be confusing for people. The morning line favorite is what whoever does the track handicapping, that's who they think people are going to bet on. So they made Omaha Beach the morning line favorite. Doesn't mean he was actually going to go off as a favorite in the race, because once you start betting, the odds change. You don't lock in. It's a parimutuel pool. For instance, if AJ and I are betting on a race and he bets $100 and I bet $1, if my horse wins, I get the $101. If his horse wins, he gets my $1. So that's how the odds get
affected. If we're the only two betting in
right,
the pool.
Right, right. And that's the easiest way to explain it. We're the only two. Now multiply that by everybody else. Right. And that's how you do it. So by race day, the favorite's probably going to be game winner. And once the money starts coming in, that's what matters more than the morning line, because that just kind of they're trying to guesstimate how people are going to bet. So if they said, and in the morning line, game winner was 5-1, and I was telling people, if you can lock in on game winner on an offshore account at 5-1, do it, because he's going to be I'd say no higher than 5-2 on race day now because of the scratch. So that's how they determine it, and the reality is we determine it. By how we bet. We'll determine who the real favorite is.
It's a lot different than sports betting.
Yeah, it's sports betting. But now, one cool thing is on the Derby, a lot of these websites, you can lock in on some of these prices now.
Yeah.
And I would highly recommend it. And a listener of ours was asking me about, you know, if I still get game winner at 5-1, should I do it? And I'm like, absolutely. Because you're not going to get 5-1 on race day. So, 713-780 ESPN 713-780-3776.
What do you think of the Jahlil Adai sign? A die, a day. What is he, a day or a die? He's a day.
Every day. All day, every day. It kind of replaces Andre Howell.
Yeah.
Your third safety. I think functional player.
Call him a starter, but I thought that he got bumped when they brought in Derwin James. I don't follow the Chargers that closely that I remember, but I thought that was the case.
Yeah.
But I mean he's an older guy, but it's a guy who to me it's almost like he replaces kind of what they were getting out of Kareem Jackson when he was playing safety.
Yeah.
I mean he's gonna He's going to. I mean, he'll help. Yeah, I think. I don't think he's anything special, but I think he'll contribute. So at this point, I'll take that.
Well, I kind of feel like Reed and Gibson are your starters, but if you've got a guy like this who's rotating in there, that's a pretty good guy to have.
Yep.
So, it's another one of those nice little under the radar signings, and I like things like that. Scrub number one says, you're not all the way off about pandering to the fans with Cap having the hammer, but it is straight out of the comic books from a few years ago. That and the Hail Hydra were Cap tips to the same storyline.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, I just...
Yeah. I haven't read comic books since I was a kid, so anything that's been in the comic books in like the last 20 years...
Right.
You could count me out on 20 plus years, probably 25 years. But, so if that stuff's still going on, then I don't know about it. It fools me. All I know about comic books now is what they show me in the movies.
409 says, my bookie has game winner at plus 400. I think there's value. There's a little value in that, but who knows? The public falls in love with another horse. You might get 400 in the live betting anyway. So I don't like that as much as I do 5-1. 5-1, I feel like you're going to get value. 4-1, I still think you're getting value, but it's not quite what I was looking for. So, but it's still a good number. I don't know. There's not another horse in there that everybody's going to look at and say, oh, this is who I jump on now that he's gone. They're almost all going to go to game winner, which is disappointing because, I mean, it's almost a dead setup for him. There's two horses I like, and they're both in the video. Tacitus is the other one. I like it. He's going to be probably 10-1. There's going to be more value there. But those are the two horses.
But if it rains, you don't like him as much.
No, if it rains, I still like him.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't like Improbable as much if it rains. He didn't exactly run all that great in the Arkansas Derby on the slot. But, you know, the horse that beat him was Omaha Beach, who was going to be the favorite. So it's not like, you know, I don't think a sloppy track is going to make that big of a difference in the race this year. So we'll see. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. I threw this out on Twitter last night because I was watching, kind of flipping through Game of Thrones again. I never saw the Knights of the Vale.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder where they were. Now, people were saying, yeah, they were there. You could see one of their shields, but I never saw their horses. And because I'm just now I'm trying to figure out who's going to be left for the last fight. So I was wondering, well, maybe they weren't there. But in Lamont asked outside of the Umbers, were all the northern houses fighting with the north? No, there was the one guy who didn't come because that he told, you know, the thousand year guy. I can't remember his name, but they weren't there. So they may already be dead too. They might have been zombied. Yeah. I think there's so much mess to clean up from that episode. That hopefully we'll know a lot more about who survived. Watching the previews, it looks like there's a lot more alive than you would think.
Yeah.
But they're also burning a lot of bodies.
What's your final grade on that episode now that you've watched it back a couple times?
Once I turn the lights off and turn the brightness up, I liked it a lot better.
Yeah.
I still think I would have preferred they split it over a couple of at least a couple episodes, because it just felt like they were going to work really hard to contain this whole thing. And I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt that they know what they're doing with the last three episodes, but I'm a little bit concerned about how it's going to finish now.
Yeah.
And I think it could go either way.
I'm guessing this week is sort of a setup week. And then they'll be talking about relationships. I'm guessing this is going to center a lot around Jon and Daenerys and their power struggle.
Maybe Tyrion, Jaime, Bronn gets involved in this. I think they'll probably get into that a little bit because, you know, now Cersei's about to be the enemy.
Yeah.
And I could see Jaime going and fighting to help him, but is he going to fight against his own sister? That I don't know. So, but, you know, that's where he gets all his action.
Yep.
If he wanted more, I could tell him where to go.
I don't think he needs more.
No,
he
gets I think, you know, if his sword isn't quite standing the way it should for him to be able to be effective, he should go to 4hymns.com And it's your one-stop shop for hair loss, skin care, sexual wellness, all for men. Hims connects you with real doctors and medical-grade solutions to treat ED. And the cool thing about this is there's no waiting room. There's no awkward in-person doctor visits. There's no lines. You save hours by going to 4hims.com. And, you know, that's the thing. You want to get that sword out of the scabbard? 4hims.com has you covered. And all of it's right there, done at home. You don't have to go to the doctor's office. Products are shipped directly to your door. And it's time to get it fixed. Whether it's that's not working or whether it's hair loss or any of the other things that they do for you, go to 4hims and you're going to find out that they can help you. It's all made easy. Try Hims for a month today for just, how about this, $5. We'll get you started for just $5 while supplies last. See the website for full details and safety information. This would cost you hundreds if you went to the doctor or pharmacy, so get that $5. Go to 4hims.com/Fred5. That's FORHIMS.com/Fred5. 4hims.com/Fred5. And you're standing on the edge, face up, because you're a natural. I've been it hard as stone. You gotta be so cold to make it this world. ESPN 97.5.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. A couple other GOT things. Somebody said, did you see that Amelia Clark said Episode 5 is going to be an even bigger deal than Episode 3? And I'm guessing that the final one is just wrapping things up.
Yeah.
And we'll see. But, yeah, I'm
and Sansa. Tyrion.
You think?
Yeah. Has to be. Yeah,
I
he's earned it.
I have a, Mom wants to know, are you have some victory sex? Probably.
I saw a meme today.
Yeah.
That said, let me pull it up here. New theory here. What if we have been thinking about it all or thinking about it wrong all along? What if Gendry is Azor Ahai or Ahai?
Yeah.
And his sword, in parentheses, penis, is the Lightbringer. He had to make a sacrifice by stabbing the one he loved with his sword. Arya, who was then infused with big sword energy, and in doing so, saved the Seven Kingdoms from darkness. What a hero he was.
That is the dumbest thing I have ever heard. That is so dumb.
You're saying his penis is not the Lightbringer.
No. And by the way, have they ever mentioned Azor Ahai in the show?
I don't think so.
I think that's a book
thing. That's a book thing.
Yeah. And
this was the best meme I saw today, though. Did you see that?
No.
It's basically a drawing of a horse.
Yeah.
And... well, you know what? I'll tweet it out.
Okay.
I think it's very accurate, to be honest. Which reminds me that, you know, I guess it's probably too early to say definitively. But with what we've seen of Game of Thrones so far this last season, would you say it's an underdog now to go down as the greatest show in the history of television? Because I feel like at one point it was trending that way. And now I think it'll take a damn miracle for it to finish like that.
Yeah,
I tend to lean a heavy no.
I would say if it ended with the season ender of season 6 before we got last year's rushed stuff and
yeah,
what we're getting now, I think at that point it was number one in the power rankings. After that, because that was still, I think, the best episode, and it led up to it beautifully, and Tommen jumping out of the window and all that stuff. I think at that time, it was number one. But it hasn't helped its rating with performances since. It's kind of like, well, let's say you're Oklahoma and you only beat Iowa State by 3 points. It's not going to help you in the eyes of the voters.
Right.
They've had a lot of 3-point wins over Baylor and Iowa State and... Texas Tech, That's kind of what it's been for him.
All right, I just tweeted it out. You take a look and tell, okay. Tell me if you think it's as accurate as I do.
Okay.
Kind of is, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm not really sure what it is, but yeah, that's...
It's basically...
I get it. It's just... Yeah. Yeah. Not so sure that that's incorrect.
Yeah, unfortunately. I mean, trust me, I was in that first probably four seasons, maybe five seasons. I was like, dude, this is in the conversation for greatest show that's ever been done.
Yeah.
And... Thank God they finished strong in season six. You mentioned the season ender. Because if you remember in season six, I did a lot of bitching. And I was like, dude, give me something. And they did. I think they saved the season at the end of season six. And then season seven was worse than season six. Because they didn't... I mean, they just threw timelines out the window.
Yeah.
And so far, season eight...
Well...
It's been better.
I haven't hated it as much as you have.
I don't hate it. I'm just saying it didn't live up to the standard that it set. You know what I mean?
Well, I thought the first two episodes were pretty good just because, yeah, to me, that's when the show was always at its best, when you had these relationships going on and who's trying to screw whom over. And that, I thought, was kind of classic season one type stuff when he brought them all back together. So I didn't have a problem with it. I wish that, I guess from a structure perspective, now I'm getting really nerdy here. I would have liked to intersperse that with more of the action instead of cramming all the action into one. And I think it would have made for better episodes. I know why they did it because I think throwing the darkness in there and making me have to go adjust my TV and turn off all the lights to enjoy it. It's a little much.
Yeah.
But, I mean, so far, I just don't know. It depends on how it finishes. And there's got to be a great betrayal coming from somebody, right?
Yeah. Like I hope so.
I have a sneaking suspicion that the cell swords could easily be rebought since they've already been paid for.
Yeah.
And that would be kind of cool if they turned on Cersei, but we'll see.
I just think that the odds of it, I think I've always said my number one is The Wire. Number two is probably Sopranos. I think number three is probably Breaking Bad for me. The chances that this show ends up in the conversation with those in my mind, I would say it's pretty slim at this point.
Yeah, I think it's better than Breaking Bad. I think Breaking Bad was... There were a couple times, if I hadn't have binged the first three seasons, I would have ejected.
It was, really?
Yeah, that no, season me. Ender of the, or the season, I think it was the start of the end of two, whenever the...
That surprises me, because I would think Breaking Bad would be up your alley, because it's crime. Like, any kind of crime is like, typically, yeah, it's a home run for you.
But you know what? I have to like the characters, and there was no one likable in that show. Walt was not likable.
No, well, he's more likable than the others, for sure.
Yeah, he's probably the most likable and probably the one that you... But I mean, I think what
I liked about that show is all the characters felt like they could be real. Like, that, like there are they felt like people you know. Like, everybody knows... In high school, you knew a guy like Jesse.
Yeah.
Who was just a screw-up. I have a guy like that I know. He is absolutely Jesse. So I think maybe that's why I was so tight with that show, but I think that's probably those three are up there for me. I think, I think we've talked about this before. I think Justified is maybe the most underrated show ever. Yeah,
Justified is definitely in my top three, and I think it is the best written show in history.
Like, period. where that, and you won't see that on any like expert top 10 lists. They don't give them that respect for whatever reason, but. I think that it's...
Banshee won't appear on any Banshee of those lists, either. And it should be, because that show was terrific. And, what, four seasons, I guess, was all we got.
I think three.
Was it three? They told the whole story, though. And
they did.
I wanted more. That's one of the few that when it ended, I wanted more.
Agreed.
And, like, Firefly is real high on my list, but...
One season. I can't count that.
Yeah, it's technically... Now it would be two seasons, because it was 14 episodes and a movie.
Yeah.
And so Deadwood's kind of in that same boat. Now I have to see what they do with the movie, because
Deadwood, I think, was great when it was on, but it's for sure an incomplete because they didn't finish the story. I can't make you top five if you don't finish your story.
Yeah, well,
which, by the way, quit being cheap, HBO. You're screwing everything up with this cheap stuff. You don't want to light your episodes. You want to just stop Deadwood in the middle of the story right when it's arcing. I mean, give me a break. You guys have dough.
Bryce says he'll go back and watch, but he's pretty sure the Red Witch mentioned Azor Ahai in season 4. I remember her talking about, I don't know that I remember her mentioning that. If anyone did, it would have been her, because she kept burning little kids and stuff to try to get victories for Stannis.
Ain't good.
That's one thing.
Burning kids is not good.
No, but that's one thing about this show, is that there have been a whole lot of holy bleep moments like that.
No, I agree.
Like setting a little girl on fire and things like that, which, man, Red Wedding. There's so many of that you're going to look back and say, wow.
I just say, to me, it's had enough. I mean, it's had some really bright spots that I was like, oh, man, that's incredible. But it's had enough moments. And I guess maybe because they set their expectations, or my expectations, so high. Yeah, to me, The Walking Dead, I mean, they're 2-3 seasons in, they were in the conversation. That's way out the window. If Walking Dead is on your top 10 list, you don't know good TV. So I'm not saying it's fallen off that hard, but it's definitely not living up to what it could have been. And maybe that's George R. R. Martin's fault for being a big, fat, lazy bum.
Probably. Somebody asked, where's Mad Men on?
Mad Men's another one.
After 3 seasons?
It would have been in the conversation. And then,
but boy, it was so... The last three years were so awful. And that's one RJ disagrees with us on. But I just thought that they got so full of themselves in how they were writing the show. And they're doing entire shows that... We were talking about how bad that call was for a payoff of a joke. They were doing entire shows to pay off a joke at the end. It's like, oh boy. That's what happens when you win a bunch of Emmys and stuff, and you think, oh, you know, we're good. We can do whatever we want.
We got this.
All right. Quick break. It's The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
I don't know how I could explain that in a cooler and more doper fashion.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. The Cannon is opening up a 120,000 square foot co-working office space dedicated to entrepreneurs, located just north of City Center and the Beltway. Pre-leasing is available, and nearly two-thirds of our offices are already taken. There's flexible month-to-month leasing, free convenient parking, bookable meeting rooms, and printing services. Visit thecannonhouston.com/ESPN to book a tour while we still have offices available. Those things are cool, man, and that's a cool place. So, good. It's really taken off in Houston now, and glad to see that. So go check them out.
Lamont says, what shows did each of you turn the other on to? I don't know. I mean, it goes back and forth. It's especially when we...
You taught me into Longmire. You were on that one long before I was. Most of the time, I mean, I'm sure it's been 3 or 4 each way at some point.
And I forget which ones are which. But, yeah. I mean, we've kind of gotten to know what the other likes, and usually we don't steer each other wrong.
Yeah. I'll never get him to watch Rick and Morty because it's a cartoon, but other than that, I pretty much have an idea. I that's the thing. There's some certain things that, like, I've told him about a couple of shows that, you know, science fiction, like Altered Carbon, I didn't think you'd like. So
he warns me.
Yeah, I tell you, because if it's the only sci-fi AJ likes is sci-fi that's tied to comic book heroes.
Yeah,
that's pretty much it.
Which, by the way, I'm out on Westworld.
I figured you would be.
Yeah. I mean,
season two sucked.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm probably out on it too, to be honest.
That thing fell apart in a hurry.
I mean, if it just stuck to robot sex, the whole thing would have been awesome.
They blew it, man. They had the golden goose.
Oh, man. 713-780-ESPN is your number. And you know what? I did have one question before we get to the gym of the day.
All right.
Is there a possibility that this is the last show that we talk about in this way and look forward to each week and each season because of what's happening with Prime and Netflix? Because I'll be honest, I much prefer, like when Bosch came out, I wanted to sit down and watch all of season five. I think we're all starting to get trained to binge watch, which I like so much better than waiting a damn week. And I just wonder, am I unique that way, or are a lot of people getting that?
No,
way?
I like to watch everything on my schedule. I don't like to wait anymore.
So, and I know that like HBO's got a few new series and things like that, but at some point, are they just going to drop them all at once?
I don't know.
And try to compete with Netflix and Prime and those guys?
They probably need to change their strategy a little.
Yeah, I'm wondering. And I just don't know that how many more... And really, is HBO the only one that has those kind of shows now? That, I mean, everybody else is sort of...
Cinemax throws them out every once in a while, but Cinemax is owned by HBO, which right, is owned by AT&T, I think.
So, I don't know. I know my viewing habits have changed, and I suspect a lot of people's have, and I just wonder if this... If these last three episodes aren't going to be like the last time that the whole world is like locked in on one show once a week.
Yeah.
So
I think we are running out of those times.
All right. Let's do the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
Okay, I don't want to do that story. I'm going to have to go to my other one. I don't know if you saw this, but how much money some of these guys made off the Avengers?
No.
That some of
the actors? The actors,
yeah.
That, like over the course of the movies?
Yeah.
Ugh, I can't even imagine. Robert Downey Jr., I mean, it's got to be absurd.
Chris Evans originally signed with Marvel for 5 films and renegotiated his contract for Infinity War and Endgame. He made 15 to 20 per film.
Total?
Yeah.
Like when it's all averaged out?
Yeah, 15 to 20 million per film. That doesn't sound that ridiculous.
But he wasn't in every one of them, right?
No, I mean, but these
you're not talking about like cameos. You're talking about his three, right. His movies and then the Avengers
right,
movies.
So not like Spider-Man or whatever it was where he's saying, so you got yourself into a detention. Was that Spider-Man?
I don't know.
Where they had Captain America?
I think so.
Yeah. Chris Hemsworth also had an initial 5 movie deal, and he also got his to 15 to 20 million. Apparently, Scarlett Johansson is going to get 20 million for her standalone Marvel movie that's set for release in 2020.
Okay.
Robert Downey Jr. got $5 million just for 3 days of work on Spider-Man Homecoming.
Oh.
And see, he's going to make at least $75 million because he gets a box office take.
Jeez, what a life!
He's going to make $75 million from it. That's off Infinity War. So Endgame's already beat that. So yeah, he made $75 million from Infinity War. So he's going to make more than that off of Endgame. So yeah, I think I'm in the wrong business. No, I'm in the right business because I'm not a handsome. That's your Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
What was that that you were just saying on the...
Peter Mayhew. Some breaking news. Peter
Chewbacca.
Mayhew. Yep, the actor who played Chewbacca. He died at the age of 74.
Wow. You know what? Without the Chewbacca mask, he looks exactly the same.
Oh, come on.
Oh, no, look at him.
Don't speak ill of the dead.
Well. All right. We'll miss you, Chewie. Pour one out for him.
Was he on Deaths this week?
No.
Oh, well, you blew it.
The news just came out.
No, you blew it. Don't blame the news cycle.
His Twitter account just tweeted it out 20 minutes ago.
713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. What are the odds the Avalanche can come back, win tonight at home, and win this series overall? I still think the Sharks win it, but their goalie is so inconsistent, it wouldn't take much. So, 713-780-ESPN. Yeah, a lot of people tell you they, when you binge watch, you get more deeply immersed and connected to the story. That's true. But I also think when you just, like, I didn't go back and watch one episode three times of Bosch like I did with Game of Thrones.
Yeah. I do wish that, like, sometimes, especially with a series like Game of Thrones, that's, there's so many characters and stuff, I do wish I had binge-watched it and not been going season to season, because sometimes it's easy to forget people. Like, I still couldn't name, like, if you show me a picture of someone, I can't always name the character in Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Like, I know what they've done, and I know, like, who they are, and I'll ask you sometimes, I'll be like, who's that one guy who's, you know, on the ship or whatever, and you know who I'm talking about, I just don't know the names.
Yeah. Yeah, well, there are too many in there.
It doesn't make for good discussion, which that's why I'm not the best at discussing Game of Thrones, other than, you know, lighting sucked. that's easy
lighting
for me.
Sucked in the story, yeah.
Yeah, but I do know what I'm watching. I just don't always know everybody's name.
All right. Well, you should know Harry's name.
Because, yeah, he's the son that got knocked out the window.
No. No.
Oh.
Harry's is the shaving guy.
Oh, I thought you meant the big wildling guy that's Giants Bane.
No, I mean Harry's.com, where, you know what, he could use some Harry's, shave that beard, because, listen, guys, the average guy spends about 3 hours of your lifetime shaving. How about that? Don't waste 4 months of your life by overpaying for a poor-performing razor. It's time to invest with Harry's. And when we say invest, we're about to offer you a deal that you're not going to believe. Because, first off, they believe in their product so much, they're going to give you your money back if you don't love your shave. That's their 100% quality guarantee. So how about this? You can join the 10 million who've tried Harry's. You'll get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and travel cover for just $3 plus free shipping. $3. Just use code FAOUR at harrys.com. And you know what? If you don't like your shave, guess what? You're going to get your $3 back. How about that? For a limited time only, they've got a great offer just for the Blitzers. You're going to get $5 off a trial set from Harry's with code FAOUR at harrys.com. It means you get a razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, travel cover, all for just $3 plus free shipping when you use code FAOUR at harrys.com. Go to harrys.com today. Join the 10 million who've tried them. Code FAOUR at checkout to claim your offer, and I'll let them know you're a Blitzer. harrys.com.
Of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!